1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. A report out of the Pentagon says there's been an almost 19% drop in reports of unwanted sexual contact amongst service members.
A significant drop in what the Pentagon calls the prevalence rate of contacts that can range from unwanted touching to rape is the first in 8 years. There is also a drop in the number of reports of sexual assaults over the past year. Pentagon officials have emphasized awareness and made changes to bring down the number of sexual assaults in the military, but it remains unclear what might be behind the new reduction, as numbers had continued to rise despite those efforts. Luis Martinez, ABC News, the Pentagon.
It stands to supplement the delivery of humanitarian aid to Gaza. The U.S. has completed a floating pier off the Gaza Strip so more aid can be delivered by boat. Customs and Border Protection reporting 2 straight months of declining detentions of migrants at the southern border. The April figure was the lowest since President Biden took office. This is ABC News. New and renewed allegations of sexual assault against illusionist David Copperfield.
16 women say they were assaulted by David Copperfield. The allegations published by the UK news outlet The Guardian, which says the dates of the claims range between the 1980s and 2014. More than half involve women who are underage at the time, and the magician is accused of drugging and assaulting at least 3 of the women. Copperfield's lawyers say the claims are false. Many of them have been made before and were investigated by U.S. law enforcement, resulting in no charges. Jason Nathanson, ABC News.
President Biden addressed the 40th annual Peace Officers Memorial Service on Wednesday.
I've unfortunately spoken to too many funerals of too many police officers. Extraordinary, brave, heroic public servants kept us safe. Being a police officer is not just what you do, it's who you are.
Mr. Biden noted that violent crime in the U.S. has hit a 50-year low, due in part, he says, to his administration's push to get illegal guns off of the streets. I'm Richard Cantu, ABC News.
The Todd Allbush Show.
The fantastic Jane Matt Nair of Matt Nair on Air. I'm a big fan of like the Rose Bowl, the Orange Bowl, the Cotton Bowl. Well, now from Snoop Dogg, they're going to have the Snoop Bowl, the Snoop Bowl. How about that, Jane?
I think we're missing the obvious. Where's the Punch Bowl? Where's the Toilet Bowl? I think that there are other bowls that are being neglected.
I think it could maybe be the Snooper Bowl, though.
The Todd Allbush Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Matt Nair on Air.
Dr. Karen Tamarius, she's a political psychiatrist, and we're talking about how to talk to people with which we do not agree.
Think of the mind as a rider on an elephant. The conscious part is the rider, and the emotional part is the elephant. If you want the person to change their mind, you need to talk with the elephant, not the rider.
Matt Nair on Air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Tom has been a teacher for over 40 years. One day, I think one of the students had asked the question and he didn't remember the answer. And I also noticed that he was letting his class out earlier than they were supposed to let out. I was really starting to worry.
Levi and I talked about how it would change our lives, but he was there beside me.
When something feels different, it could be Alzheimer's. Now is the time to talk. Visit alz.org/ourstories to learn more. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
On our next show, our good friend Pat Tracy from Discover Oshkosh joins us to tell us what's going on this week in Oshkosh.
And then we welcome Brian Scott, the news director and general manager of NBC 26. It's going to be a great show.
Weekday mornings, 6 till 9. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Mostly cloudy today with a chance of scattered thunderstorms by late this afternoon into this evening. Our high right around 70. The wind out of the southeast at 5 to 15. Tonight clearing after midnight 52. Tomorrow sunshine 79. By Saturday sunny with a high near 80. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Current temperature 44.
The Todd Alba Show.
Trumpster asked the judge and said, hey, can I not come to court because I want to go to my son's graduation? So here now, from the raw story, Trump plans Minnesota fundraiser on the day of Barron's graduation. When I graduated, you have a get-together with family and friends. It's kind of a day. A parent shouldn't just be ducking in and out.
You have to be a parent for that. And he is a parent in name only. A pino.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2. On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we talk all things sports balls with the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel's J.R. Radcliffe. Weather and wine with Brittany Merlot at 11:50. Join us.
Matinair on air. Weekday mornings at 10.
An industry that feeds the world is definitely an industry worth talking about. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
Well, looks like moisture back in our forecast for a Thursday. Come on in, everybody. I'm Farm Director Pam Youngke. Yeah, already this morning, the La Crosse area seeing some showers. I'm watching radar kind of move across the state. Looks like La Crosse begins. Madison will get it later this morning, and the Lakeshore is going to pick it up as well. Daytime highs today, probably around 69 degrees in La Crosse. Into the 70s around the Madison area and along the lakeshore as usual. Temperatures in the upper 60s. Stu Muck, our ag meteorologist, joins us with weather details in about 15 minutes. The good news is once we turn the corner today, partly cloudy skies on the way for Friday, but dry. Saturday looks beautiful with sunny skies. I'll see what Stu's got to say about that. Speaking of what they've got to say about it, we are going to be talking with Matt Tranel, broker analyst with EverAg. Yesterday, the butter market surged another 6+ cents higher. Tell you what, consumers, if you're buying butter, you're going to start noticing that kind of escalation in the grocery store. Talking with Matt Tranel about that. And how important should agriculture be in the upcoming election conversation around the state of Wisconsin? Well, turns out four of our Wisconsin congressional districts are tops in the nation when it comes to agriculture needing representation. Jason Mungnaini, Executive Director of Government Relations for the Wisconsin Farm Bureau Federation, is breaking that down for us.
There goes Pam Youngke across Wisconsin in her suburban truck. Thanks to Farm First Dairy Cooperative, serving dairy farmers across the Midwest since 2013. Farm First Dairy Cooperative, member focused, member driven, member led. And from Equity Livestock Cooperative, marketing your livestock, financing your operation, and supporting the livestock community since 1922. Keep up with Pam at fabulousfarmbabe.net on Facebook and Twitter.
Recent rains have brought out the morel mushrooms. And that's great news for the community of Muscadet, where they're planning the 2024 Muscadet Morel Festival on May 17th. I'm Charity Seebecker from the southern end of the world's longest barn in Madison, and I visited with Tom Nondorf, a retired veteran that has been buying and selling morel mushrooms for over 14 years as part of a fundraiser for their local American Legion Post 85 for that festival. Tom says that this year is looking to be an exceptional season for morel mushrooms.
With the rainfall and the weather right now, it's really helped keep the mushroom crop going. But I tie the snowfall, the late snowfalls in the spring is more of a helpful than the current rains. Because there's something in that over the years I've been buying, the more snow we get in the late spring, the better off the mushroom crop is that year. And we had a couple of timely snowfalls late in the spring, and that's really what helps the mushroom crop.
What are you hearing from farmers? Are there any things that are sticking out to you?
I've got a couple guys that's probably found 200 pounds already, you know, between the two of them. So that's a lot of mushrooms for two people. It's been a good year, and I'm, you know, you're seeing all over Facebook where people are finding lots of mushrooms.
So speaking of that, are there certain spots within Wisconsin that are known to have higher yields of mushrooms? I've heard about you in Muscadet. You're the morel capital, right?
The Muscadet area itself is kind of drying up from what I can see. But I know the one guy is from around Fenimore area, and he's been really doing good over there. And I got another guy over on across the river over towards Richland Center, and he's been really doing good. But the locals here in Muscadet, I haven't seen a lot of it.
Interesting. So then comparing to maybe previous years, obviously you've been purchasing mushrooms for quite a while. How is this year's season looking so far?
I would say it's going to be probably one of the better seasons in the last few years. because, let's see, 23, the numbers were down. I think we did buy around 500 pounds at the end there. 2022, we bought, I think, maybe 250 pounds. 21 was a slow year, and 20 with the COVID year was a really bad year because that was a cold spring. That was really down. But I'm looking this year should be a fairly decent year. If I was to say, if I could have probably bought 300-400 pounds by now if I was buying regularly.
So what factors besides rainfall or even that snowfall that you mentioned then influence the growth and availability of these mushrooms?
Well, it's kind of an overnight thing from my understanding over the years. You can pick them one day and go back the next, and there's still some more there again. And then once they pop, they will grow a little bit, but not much more after they've come out of the ground. But it's kind of an overnight thing. You see them, you pick them, because if you don't pick them, somebody else will. You know, that's about how it goes.
So when it comes to picking them, then, what tips do you have for maybe novice foragers on where, how to even start searching for mushrooms within Wisconsin? I'm sure there's some common mistakes that people make when even just trying to identify the mushrooms and picking what's the best ones.
Actually, you know, you have the brown or your darker grays, and then you have the tans. And a lot of it, if you're nowhere to go, like, for instance, the old elm trees, which are really dying out. We don't have the elm trees we once did, but elm trees, apple orchards is a big one. And it all depends on the leaf cover. You got to kind of, if you see one, dig around through the leaves and the grass and do a lot of searching, basically. You know, some of them, you'll see them like crazy because they're 3-4 inches, but then there's some that's hiding under the brush.
You mentioned some of the different trees to look for, but how do other environmental factors, whether that's just the soil pH, the temperature, just other tree species influence just how they grow?
They'll grow around aspen. You know, people are finding them in the yard around pine trees. It's, like you say, the pH, I believe, in the soil and where the local elm trees have blowed in that spore. Because I've heard people right here in town find them in their yard and there ain't an elm tree around. So it's just what's in the soil content that makes them pop.
Are there certain ones that people should avoid picking? How can they tell the difference then, even in that case?
There's a false morel out there that does look like a morel, but then it's more of an umbrella type mushroom. But the top of the mushroom is still shaped like the morel. And then there's another one out there that's kind of reddish looking. That's a false mushroom that you wouldn't want to eat.
How long will morel stay fresh then? Do you have any suggestions for how to store them to really get the most out of them?
Once you pick a mushroom and stuff, you can keep them actually, if you don't want to freeze them, you know, you can keep them actually in a paper bag or a cardboard box, keep them in the refrigerator there. You know, actually, you know, when I'm buying, I could store them for about 2.5 weeks. And, you know, they start losing the moisture content. But once you cut them in half and go to wash them, they come back just like when you picked them, like a sponge.
So then for those who maybe prefer to buy the mushrooms rather than forage for them, I know you mentioned you've been buying for a few years. What should they look for in terms of that freshness or quality from the person that they're buying from?
As far as the freshness, again, there it goes with, for instance, you got a nice dry day, you're going to get a nice bunch of mushrooms. Where on a day like where we had that rain overnight, them 12 mushrooms are going to be about a quarter of a pound more because they're soaked up all that water. So they want kind of, when they're buying mushrooms, a good pound of kind of dried mushrooms instead of a wet, soggy mushroom. Because then they're going to get more mushrooms per bag than they would if they're all picked on a rainy day.
Are there any other edible mushrooms that tend to kind of emerge alongside those during the spring season in Wisconsin that people are kind of navigating towards?
There's pheasant back is what I call them. They look, if they grow on the side of a tree and the back end of them kind of looks just like the tail of a pheasant, you know, with the colors in that. And they're actually a really good mushroom. There's a hen of the woods that's really good. Then there's kind of a yellow oyster-looking mushroom that grows on trees that's becoming really popular. And don't ask me what the name of that one is because I don't have it offhand right now. But them are becoming really popular right now because of the scarcity of the morels the last few years.
So what are some of your favorite ways or even suggestions then for people to cook with these mushrooms?
Basically, for the festival, when we're frying, we'd fry anywhere from 200 to 300 pounds, and we would just clean them up and then fry them in butter. But there's some people that'll roll them in flour, and so that gives them a little more crisper taste when they fry them. And there's different ways that people will fry them, a little garlic salt or whatever. But basically, myself and for the festival, it was just fried in butter. There's a few people that'll take and leave them whole and stuff cheese down in and deep fry them. It's, I guess, how you want to try and fix them yourself.
That was Tom Nondorf, mushroom sale lead for the American Legion Post 85 in Muscadet. Every spring, the countryside surrounding Muscadet and all parts of Wisconsin yields tons of morel mushrooms. But he says that morel collectors should be sure to ask permission from farmers if they want to hunt on that private land. From the southern end of the world's longest barn in Madison, I'm Charity Seebecker.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Jahnke.
From I-43 to I-41, this is the Talk of Green Bay. 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
An unsuspecting driver at a gas station in Wisconsin.
Welcome, Pump 15. How you doing?
Great.
Were you wearing your seatbelt today?
I never wear my seatbelt.
We're going to get him. We're going to get him real good.
Oh, my goodness.
Hello, sir. How you doing? Dollar driver. It takes 1 second to strap a seatbelt on. Well, let's do this. Let's do it together. Now, don't that feel better?
Donald Driver can't always be there to remind you.
Click it or tick it.
And let's reduce fatalities on Wisconsin roadways.
And I should have recognized your voice when you're harassing
me. I'm watching you.
Sponsored by Wisconsin DOT.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matt and Air on Air with Jane Matt and Air. Weekdays 10 till noon on the Talk of Green Bay, 97.9 FM and 1590 AM WGBW. And on the Civic Media app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
So I have super parallel parking skills. And on the east side where I live, I will often sit on my front porch and like a play-by-play call as if it was a sport. Parallel parking to me is a sport. I'm the Stephen A. Smith of parallel parking. That should go on a t-shirt.
We'll get you one made.
Oh, my gosh.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Todd Alba Show.
The fantastic Jane Matt Nair of Matt Nair on Air. I'm a big fan like the Rose Bowl, the Orange Bowl, the Cotton Bowl. Well, now, from Snoop Dogg, they're going to have the Snoop Bowl, the Snoop Bowl. How about that, Jane?
I think we're missing the obvious. Where's the punch bowl? Where's the toilet bowl? I think that there are other bowls that are being neglected.
I think it could maybe be the Snooper Bowl, though.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2, on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Siskel and Ebert producer John Davies and meteorologist Brittany Merlot joins the show to discuss tick season. Should be a great show.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights 7 till 9. You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
Of that research to improve humanity around the world, access to food, how we're producing, etc. It's called the World Food Prize, and the winners were announced in Washington, D.C. this week. The laureate, or laureates this year, were introduced by Ambassador Terry Branstad, president of the World Food Prize.
This year, the World Food Prize Selection Committee has chosen two incredible individuals who have advanced human development through improving the quality, quantity, and availability of food for all. They are Dr. Jeffrey Houghton of the United Kingdom and Canada, and Dr. Kerry Fowler of the United States.
That's Terry Branstad, ambassador and president of the World Food Prize. Now, Dr. Houghton is the founding director of the Global Crop Diversity Trust, and Dr. Fowler is the U.S. Special Envoy for Global Food Security, and they explain a little bit more about what they do.
They then went on to work to establish the famous Svalbard Global Seed Vault in Norway, which safely stores backups for more than 1 million seed samples from green banks all over the world. More than anyone else, these laureates have together shaped the global system we now have for protecting, sharing, and utilizing crop diversity for the benefit of humanity.
Not something we think about a lot in agriculture, but obviously critical, making sure that we've got crop diversity and seed stock to work with on that diversity. Again, the voice you heard, Ambassador Terry Branstad, president of the World Food Prize, the laureates, Dr. Jeffrey Houghton from the UK and Canada, Dr. Kerry Fowler from the United States. The new World Food Prize laureates will share the $500,000 award at the 2024 Borlaug Dialogue. That's October 29th through the 31st down in Iowa. And Norman Borlaug, who was known for his contributions and battling world hunger, in an Iowa native there. All right, let's talk about weather right here. We've got weather that's going to bring us a little bit more rain. Stumach Ag meteorologist along with us. Kind of been keeping an eye on radar this morning. My folks in western Wisconsin already telling me they're getting wet, huh?
Yeah, I've got the airport at La Crosse telling me 43 hundredths of an inch in the last couple of hours.
Oh, that's a little bit more than I expected. Now, what direction is that rain coming? I think that all of us are going to see a little bit of it, but by what time?
We'll see some. I mean, the line, the leading edge this morning lines up from Wausau and down to about Prairie du Chien, kind of pushing on toward the Wisconsin River in central Wisconsin, pushing a little further east than the line. But low pressure will try to push that rain further east. We're all going to see something develop here today. I think southern Wisconsin and southeast Wisconsin in line for, you know, a tenth of an inch or two, a little heavier in central Wisconsin and north, pushing more likely into that quarter and half inch range as we head through today. The low pressure system is back in Minnesota and is going to be pushing east and northeast through the day, bringing that rain around like La Crosse and areas along the Mississippi. We'll see the rain end for a time this morning. Could redevelop a bit later this afternoon or evening. I wouldn't expect much then as far as totals here by later in the day. The bigger news is the rain ends. We may even see a little fog late tonight or tomorrow, but then I expect a real big warm-up. Upper 70s for Friday, low 80s for Saturday, could be upper 70s again by Sunday. A very weak front does pull through, and in some parts, I'd say western and northern Wisconsin, a very small rain chance late Saturday or Saturday night. For the rest of us, just a few clouds and very mild temperatures through the weekend. Another rain chance to start the new week developing into Monday. I'll have forecast details right after this.
Here's a fun fact for you. According to researchers, 80% of all homeowners and 70% of all households in the United States own at least one grill or smoker. Fabulous Farm Bay Pam Yankee here for Bavaria Sausage, and I think every one of those grills or smokers should have a product from Bavaria Sausage. Just take a look at all their offerings online at BavariaSausage.com or stop by their retail location, corner of Nesbitt Road, Fitchrona Road in Fitchburg. You're going to find something for every type of cooking that you're doing. Don't forget, of course, their award-winning brats with that old-world flavor you're looking for. And then take a look at some of the other products you don't necessarily think of, like their great smoked salmon fresh out of their smokers today. You can find it all online, BavariaSausage.com, or visit them face-to-face at the corner of Nesbitt Road, Fitchrona Road in Fitchburg, with extended hours Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, 9 until 6. Bavaria Sausage, serving your summertime smiles. All righty, Stu, not necessarily smiling a lot about that rain. Go ahead and tell us when and where.
Well, that's the name. The rain is in western and central Wisconsin this morning. Maybe a rumble of thunder developing further east now as we head through the day. More likely, again, mid and late afternoon, another round of a few showers or maybe a rumble of thunder to be seen. Temps today in the low 70s with the south winds 5 to 10. A little rain lingers east and south tonight, and then skies clear a bit, some fog possible late. low 50s, maybe an upper 40 in the north. The west winds at 5 to 10. A little patchy fog, but a sunny Friday. Mid and upper 70s. We warm it up. Southwest winds at 5 and sunny skies Saturday. Upper 70s and low 80s with the southeast winds at 5 to 10. Very mild again, Pam. You know, upper 70s on Sunday. Sounds like a springtime weekend that's going to make stuff grow.
All right. That's okay. That grass has been doing that right along, but so are the weeds. We'll have to see how we can do as far as the planting stuff is concerned.
Yeah, we're hoping everything going in is going to start sprouting quickly as it warms up.
Nothing to worry about as far as overnight lows for the foreseeable future, though,
no,
right?
No. It's going to be a lot more mild.
All right. Beautiful. Thanks, buddy. Catch you tomorrow.
All right.
Stu Mucker, ag meteorologist, checking in with weather details. Coming up, how powerful is Wisconsin agriculture when it comes to the election conversations? You might be surprised. We're taking a look at congressional districts all on the way on a Thursday morning.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Yonke.
From the home of the frozen tundra, Green Bay's choice for news talk, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
The road construction season is underway, and you've probably noticed orange cones and barrels are back too. The world's leading manufacturer of these safety products is Lakeside Plastics. The family-owned business is based in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. Do you know why the cones were originally created more than 75 years ago? As a safety marker to keep drivers away from newly painted lines on the road, as an object for drivers to weave around to mark the tops of houses for small airplane pilots. The answer's coming up.
Message that we can get out. We need to have a safe work zone.
Safety is number one for Eric Gwitt. He's the I-41 project supervisor for the work between DePere and Appleton, where you'll be seeing a lot of those orange cones. Did you guess why the cones were originally created? To keep drivers away from wet paint lines on the road. Now, cones like those made at Lakeside Plastics in Oshkosh warn about any kinds of hazards ahead. That is one safe slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Fabulous Farm Bay Pam Yonke here with the Midwest Farm Report live weekday mornings right here on WGBW. It's about your food and where it comes from. Tune in and learn. 5 a.m., 1590 a.m., 97.9 FM, the talk of Green Bay.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
One of the most prolific columnists in the Midwest, Mr. James Causey. One of your columns, you mentioned that you got into the news because of the news quiz.
Yes. I would like to be the first person picked. And so.
Yes. Getting picked first for the news quiz teams.
We need to bring that back, actually. I need to talk to my paper about bringing that back.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Retirement can be scary, but only if you're not prepared. That's why AARP created thisispretirement.org. Because unless you've already retired, you're in pretirement and you still have time to plan. Learn about retirement savings options, potential tax breaks, and how you can build savings over time. Visit thisispretirement.org for free resources to help you customize your action plan and feel the retirement fear disappear. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. After Wednesday's off day, Donald Trump's lawyers today resume cross-examination of Michael Cohen in Trump's hush money trial.
During 2 hours of cross-examination on Tuesday, defense lawyers focused on Cohen's animosity for Trump, his motivation for cooperating with authorities, and his new career making millions from books, podcasts, and merchandise related to Trump. Defense lawyers are expected to highlight inconsistencies in Cohen's past statements about Trump's involvement in an alleged scheme to hide information from voters ahead of the 2016 election.
ABC's Peter Haralambos. U.S. military officials say the installation of a floating pier off Gaza to speed up humanitarian aid deliveries is complete. President Biden and Donald Trump have agreed to 2 one-on-one debates, June 27th on CNN, September 10th on ABC. One change, there'll be no in-person audiences. The Supreme Court ordered Louisiana to do its congressional elections this year using a map that created a second majority black district. This is ABC News.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know.
There'll be two special elections in Wisconsin this year to fill vacant seats. One of them will be for state senate in Milwaukee in July. The other will be for U.S. House in northeast Wisconsin in November. The winners will replace Lena Taylor and Mike Gallagher. Governor Evers announced the dates this week. Wisconsin is waiting to see how the state Supreme Court rules on allowing absentee ballot drop boxes this year. Janelle Ludwig Kraus is a voting advocate in western Wisconsin. She says all kinds of voters vote absentee.
Farmers who need to be on their field when the conditions are dry, it makes it possible for parents that are juggling a million things to cast a ballot, for people with disabilities, for elderly people.
Opponents say it's too easy to use drop boxes to commit voter fraud. And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
The Brewers sink the Pirates. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. It kind of looked like Bambi's Bombers from 40 years ago. Five home runs from five different Brewer players on the way to a 10-2 win over Pittsburgh at American Family Field in front of nearly 33,000 fans. 24-year-old lefty Robert Gasser becoming the first pitcher in Brewers franchise history to begin his MLB career 2-0.
I was able to use the whole arsenal today, so went to the cutter, went to the changeup, got some outs on him, so I was really happy to be able to use those and with everything else.
The NFL schedules are out, and the Packers with five games in prime time. The bye week is in week 10. They finish the season on the road against the Vikings and at home against the Bears. Doug Gottlieb is the new head basketball coach at UW Green Bay and admits he's off to a late start recruiting new players.
Is it late? Sure, but being late is a lot worse if you're at Kentucky or Arkansas or even Wyoming. That's a lot harder late at that level than is this level.
With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time for a special edition of Thursday Tangents with Lukester. It's Luke Mathers right here. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Mostly cloudy today with a chance of scattered thunderstorms by late this afternoon into this evening. Our high right around 70. The wind out of the southeast at 5 to 15. Tonight clearing after midnight 52. Tomorrow sunshine 79. By Saturday sunny with a high near 80. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Current temperature 44.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. You may have heard references to the Purcell Principle in news reports. What started out as a U.S. Supreme Court opinion to minimize confusion and disruption close to an election may now be a partisan voter suppression tactic. 5 weeks before the 2006 midterms, a federal court stayed an Arizona voter ID proof of citizenship law intended to suppress Native American voters. The Supreme Court took the case on an emergency basis, the so-called shadow docket, and overturned Purcell versus Gonzalez, citing confusion for voters and election workers if changes were implemented too close to the election. Courts have since cited Purcell to delay voting rights and redistricting cases, sometimes at the expense of the right to vote or fair districts, as with the racially gerrymandered maps in Alabama's Milligan case. A lower court struck down the maps in January 2022, but the U.S. Supreme Court stayed the order, allowing their use for the midterms, only to throw them out in June 2023 as a violation of the Voting Rights Act. It undoubtedly cost Black Alabamians fair representation. A similar scenario may be unfolding in Louisiana, where fair congressional maps were struck down with the 2024 election just 6 months away. Could a partisan court influence an election just by manipulating a voting rights case on its calendar, then citing Purcell? We'll be watching. Find more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Max Inc. on Civic Media with Mike and Wendy from Sunspot. Can you imagine the mosh pit on the bridge that could happen?
Oh, well, that's how the original series was when they moved the camera. Whenever it's like the red alert. The,
right.
Yeah. That was the mosh pit.
Yeah. And everybody had to like fake like.
Right. Lean left. Straight. Lean right.
Yeah.
Join us for all the fun with Max Inc. on Saturday night, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinair on Air with Jane Matinair. Weekdays 10 till noon on the talk of Green Bay, 97.9 FM and 1590 AM WGBW, and on the Civic Media app. Mino and the Mayor.
Did you see the dumbest thing I did? Catherine, who we just love here, she runs the whole company pretty much. She brought like Blues Brothers glasses. So she wanted us all to walk in together wearing the black glasses. So we're sitting in the thing and I'm reading the program. Reach my glasses, where I always carry it, put them on. It's like, holy crap, they dropped the lights. Now I can't read anything. So I take them off. I'd put my sunglasses on. How dumb is that?
Mino and the Mayor, weekday mornings 6 until 9 on the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, and Oshkosh Air Support, WISS.
Hey, so what's a great way to spread awareness that driving high is illegal everywhere? A catchy song, of course.
You can run, but you can't drive high. You can run, but you can't drive high.
Friendly reminder, don't drive high. If you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home of Mino and the Mayor.
You bet she thinks your tractor's sexy. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
Yeah, those sexy tractors are likely going to stay parked today. We've got rain moving across the state of Wisconsin. La Crosse was the lucky territory first. It's on its way to Madison. It's going to hang around the lakeshore as well. Daytime highs today in the upper 60s, low 70s. Better news? Tomorrow and Saturday look like they're going to dry out. I'm PM Yonke. Really glad you're along with us on a Thursday morning. Matt Tranel, broker analyst with EverAg out of Platteville, going to be joining us as well. If you are someone that bakes a lot or your family consumes a lot of butter, stay tuned. Yesterday in Chicago, the price on butter went up another 6 cents. That means in Chicago, butter is trading at $3.05 per pound. Guess what? That price is going to be relayed to you at the grocery store sometime very soon. Talking about that with Matt Tranel in just a little bit. So today is the 16th day of May. What can I tell you? Interestingly enough, on this day back in 1933, they actually mobilized the military in Wisconsin. Why? Because dairy farmers in Wisconsin went on strike over low milk prices. They started dumping milk, and it turned into a physical altercation in Waukesha County. Happened on this day. Back in 1933. On this day in 1929, the Oscars are awarded for the very first time. On this day in 1975, first female summits Mount Everest. A Japanese woman took the top on this day in 1975. Happy birthday to singer Janet Jackson, 58 years young, and Pierce Brosnan, looking very good at 71. And now you know. We know the elections are on the horizon, and I'll tell you what, one conversation that many congressional districts better have is about the future of agriculture. Why? Because Wisconsin has 4 congressional districts that are tops in the nation when it comes to the number of farmers within that district and the amount of farming going on in that district. I talked about it yesterday with Jason Mungnaini, Executive Director of Government Relations for the Wisconsin Farm Bureau Federation. This is new information released by the U.S. Department of Agriculture and the 2022 census. Mungnaini says that census information just keeps giving us insights.
I mean, the ag census is the gift that keeps on giving. And it, you know, having the congressional breakdowns just really shows the importance of those of agriculture within those congressional districts. And it's pretty evident that, you know, Wisconsin's one of the most important agricultural states. The Ag Census already showed us that Wisconsin's a top 10 producing state. But when you break it down even further by congressional district, you really see that some of our congressmen, some of our elected officials, and some of these districts really shine. And across the board, the 3rd congressional district really is amongst that rank. And is, in terms of farms and farmers nationwide, the 3rd congressional district is ranked 17th in the country. Out of all of the districts in the House of Representatives, The third congressional district is ranked 17th, which shows exactly why Congressman Van Orden sits on the House Ag Committee. It's an important we're an important state. We have important commodities. We have a diverse commodity list. And that just adds to the importance that that district has, not only in Wisconsin state agriculture, but agriculture nationally. But beyond just the 3rd congressional district, the 7th congressional district, the 2nd congressional district, the 6th congressional district, so Congressman Tiffany, Pocan, Grothman, those are all top 100 in the U.S. And even beyond that, the 8th congressional district, which is recently left open by Congressman Gallagher, is 102nd. So we've got really some incredible things happening here. And when you look at the numbers in terms of the market value, we actually have 6 congressional districts that are in the top 100. I mean, this just shows the importance of agriculture here in the state of Wisconsin. And when you break it down and you realize that one farmer, just one farmer in the state of Wisconsin, feeds 170 people for a year, those types of things really show the value of this industry, regionally, globally, and really show the diversity of our commodities on an international scale. I looked at some of the actual individual commodities within these congressional pieces, and I found out that actually the number one milk-producing congressional district is the 8th congressional district, so Northeast Wisconsin. They rank 4th nationally. But then the 7th, the 3rd, the 6th, they're all in the top 10. We hold the 4th, 6th, 7th, and 10th place spot for milk production, and the 3rd congressional district and the 7th congressional district are both top 10 in the country for potatoes. So we have a diverse commodity groups where you look at some of these other states, they're corn and pork or they're soybeans and beef. Wisconsin really ranks high across the board in a lot of different things, and we have a pretty robust number of congressional districts that produce in that top 100 rank nationally.
Can't argue the facts. That's Jason Mungnaini, Executive Director of Government Relations for the Wisconsin Farm Bureau Federation. Again, our state has 4 congressional districts that are in the top 100 as far as agriculture farmers and agriculture acres in the United States. Now, just stop and think about that for a moment. Hopefully it is something you think about as you interview candidates in those geographic areas going into the fall. We're going into markets in just a moment.
What do you look for in a lending partner? Someone who supports smart decision-making for your farm or ranch, agribusiness, investment, or community. Someone who values relationships. Someone who, when you face adversity, looks you in the eyes and says, "We are here." Find the lending partner you're looking for at Compere Financial. Visit Compere.com to get started today. Compere Financial is an equal credit opportunity lender and provider. Copyright 2023, all rights reserved.
If your family is a big butter consumer, you might want to stand by for my conversation with Matt Tranel, broker analyst with EverAg. Yesterday in Chicago, the butter price went up 6 cents, now at $3.05.5 per pound. Now that's in the marketplace. That's not retail. So imagine what you're going to see at the grocery store in the next couple of weeks. We'll talk to Matt about that in just a moment. Barrel cheese was unchanged on Wednesday. The 40-pound block cheese, that dropped a quarter of a cent down to 192 and three quarters per pound. This morning, December corn's quiet at 487. November beans are down a penny and a half right now at 1201. July wheat's up 4 at 669 and three quarters. The June Class 3 milk that goes into cheese up 12 cents at 2097. The July milk, that's unchanged at 2018 100 weight. If you want to help your family connect the dots on where their food comes from and everything that it takes to get it to you, you might want to think about a visit to Plover on Saturday. The Food and Farm Exploration Center, brand new facility in Plover, is going to have their community You Pick event. They're asking people to join them from 9 until 11 on Saturday at their Plover location as they begin the first steps of growing sweet corn. They're going to show people different planting techniques, talk a little bit about what sweet corn needs to grow, also obviously talk about when it's going to be ready. So they've got agriculture staff members with over 40 years of experience that are going to lean in this Saturday, May 18th, from 9 until 11 at the Food and Farm Exploration Center in Plover to help you understand where the sweet corn comes from. And don't forget, Saturday is also the day when the small community of Muscadet, just north and west of Madison, is going to be celebrating the morel mushrooms. Muscadet Morel Festival coming up all day Saturday. You can go to muscadet.com. Find out more there. All right, we're talking markets and what is going on with that butter. We've got Matt Tranel on deck next.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Jahnke.
Mino and the Mayor in the morning. And the talk of Green Bay all day long. 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW. Keeping you informed, entertained, and connected to your local community. Here's Terry Barr with the Civic Media Radio Network.
If you can't find the information you need, what do? An Appleton woman wanted to kayak around Door County, but Bab Smith found she had to write a book about it first.
It's really hard to find information on where you can land that's public. I said, somebody should write a book about this.
Smith now has two books with more on the way, including a peek into some of the incredible shipwrecks found between Sturgeon Bay and Chicago.
I kept calling the Wisconsin Archaeology Department and saying, I need more information about this shipwreck or that shipwreck. And she said, how are you looking at these? And I said, by kayak. She goes, wow, we never thought of that.
Every story starts with a kayak trip.
Silly things, everything dumb that we did, don't do it. You know, we put it in there.
Find her books at Amazon and other online stores and let her help you enjoy kayaking Northeast Wisconsin this summer. Until next time, I'm Terry Barr.
Hi, this is Jim Schmidt, your former mayor of Green Bay. You know, I've always cared about local issues. I still do. Join me on my new show, Lean Local, here on WGBW. I'll interview community leaders and elected officials, discuss the economy and development projects, and we'll talk about the future of education here in Greater Green Bay. As they say, all politics is local. So join me for Lean Local, Sunday at 1 p.m. on the Talk of Green Bay, 97.9 WGBW.
The Todd Alba Show.
Trumpster asked the judge and said, hey, can I not come to court because I want to go to my son's graduation? So here now, from the raw story, Trump plans Minnesota fundraiser on the day of Barron's graduation. When I graduated, you have a get-together with family and friends. It's kind of a day. A parent shouldn't just be ducking in and out.
You have to be a parent for that. And he is a parent in name only. A pino.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2. On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Pat Kreitlow.
Thursday on Up North News Radio, our Women Win Wisconsin profile from Motherhood for Good catches up with a key lawmaker from the Fox Valley.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for Nightlight with Peach Schwabba.
On dairy. Thanks, Matt, for checking in. I got to start with the one that catches a lot of attention when I'm visiting conversationally with my neighbors in the cul-de-sac or here in the building. Butter now over $3.05 a pound in Chicago. Now, that is point of origin, so we still have to add something on when it comes to the retail price. Explain for the average consumer and even our dairy producers out there, what is going on with butter and why are these prices where they're at?
Yeah, so in the butter market, there's a few different things that are taking place, but I think the primary one remains that in major butter-making areas, typically your drier climates, and we do have some butter manufacturing here in the state of Wisconsin as well, but focusing in on some of those other areas of the United States, there has been quite a bit of milk that has left the overall market. Specifically in the southwest part of the country, New Mexico and West Texas. And so given the limited amounts of maybe milk going into production, it has been able to really keep this market somewhat supported somewhere between the $2.80 and lower $3 a pound type areas. When you look at cold storage reports for butter, they don't tell us that we're essentially running out of butter per se. You look back between the years of 2019 and really March 24th, 2024, I should say. We've ranged in butter inventories anywhere from 270 million pounds up to 350 million pounds. And as of today, and as of the last cold storage report, we sit at 316 million pounds. So we're right in that range of normalcy on butter. But, I mean, you look at the butter market and you look at all the players that are in the butter market, there's only so many people that do produce butter here in the United States. And so when you do have limited amounts of sellers and you have a whole bunch of people that want to be buyers, it can cause some support or some type of rally in its own right.
Do we import butter?
We will from time to time, but we don't do a ton of it. And to that point, we also don't export a ton of butter. It's mainly a domestic product. And the biggest reason for that is the world prefers their butter with 82% fat content, whereas the United States prefers ours with 80% fat content. So there's a little bit of content difference-wise. So if there is a substantial price difference, yes, we will export, and yes, we will look at the import market. Importing is a lot more likely than seeing us in the export channels, I will say that.
Matt Trennell, broker analyst with EverAg, along with us this morning. I always want to refer you to their website. If you'd like to follow up with Matt or any of his colleagues, go to ever.ag. Matt, let's pivot a little bit, talk a bit more about what's focusing on our Wisconsin milk market, and that's always cheese. What's been going on there? It seems like barrel and block are sometimes going in opposite directions.
Yeah, so the last couple of days, we've definitely seen a barrel market that's been supportive and a block market that's been a little bit weaker. And I think the perfect phrase to kind of sum up what's going on is high prices cure high prices, low prices cure low prices. And you go back to early April, and the low prices curing low prices was a result of big exports that the United States was able to chunk off. We saw big exports in February. We saw an all-time record, regardless of month, in the month of March. And our context would say that we also have some exports in the channels for both April and May, and maybe even a little bit into June. But as we looked at some of those further off months, the carry and the cheese price was significantly higher, meaning down the road in your July, August, September, prices of cheese were trading towards $1.80, which wasn't nearly as much of a bargain discount as what the prices of cheese were in the months of April, May, and June, when we were trading $1.40 to $1.60. And so we did see some business to Mexico. We saw some business to Korea, the Middle East, North Africa come to the table. And that's really pushed the market higher. A lot of times these cheese processors are making cheese that has the most value. And when cheddar cheese prices were down towards $1.40, $1.50, there were other varieties such as mozzarella or hard Italian or various different cheese types that really were of more value. So we found that our processors were focusing on those cheeses from that particular period of time. This export order and this run-up has caught some of these processors making other varieties. And now as prices have rallied, some of these processors will come back and start making cheddar cheese because, again, they're going to go to where the value is once their previous orders are fulfilled. So back to my comments about high prices eventually will cure high prices. You will see production of cheddar cheese come back to the market. In fact, we've already started to see some of that, and that has slowed some of this block cheese price down and actually made it drift lower, whereas the barrel market is still said to be tight. Now, to farmers, what that means is June rallied $5, and the deferred months in 2024 have also seen a significant rally.
No, I've got to, just from logistics, how difficult is it for plants to pivot like that, Matt, and remind them again what barrel and block are used for, because that also dictates some of this?
Yeah, so I mean, it takes time to switch from blocks and barrels. And it definitely does not happen overnight. But most of these plants that you're dealing with, they do have the capabilities of dual cheese purposes. And so to change over your line, I mean, I would say that it takes less than a week to really get it going. But I think the time lag really is shutting down one line, starting the other, and then being able to produce enough to have it readily available in Chicago. And the logistics behind that also in storing it, trucking it, so on and so forth to Chicago. That's something that takes time. As far as what they're used for, your barrel cheese, a lot of times that's your processed cheese. You'll shred that up. Potentially you'll process that into cheese that maybe goes into slices or ends up on like cheeseburgers. A lot of it goes into the fast food realm of the world. A lot of your cheeses will end up in grocery stores and such.
Excellent. Matt Tronel joining us this morning live. He is a broker analyst with EverAg out of Chicago, trying to explain, first off, what's going on with our butter price, and then, obviously, where Wisconsin dairy farmers' hearts lie, largely in cheese and what's going on there. Good enough, Matt. I appreciate the update. Any other way that people can get in touch with you outside of ever.ag?
Yeah, give me a call at 608-960-4781 is also another good way.
All right, buddy. We'll catch up with you again soon. Matt Tronel, again, joining us live this morning, broker analyst with EverAg. We'll catch up with you tomorrow morning, same time.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Yonke.
This is the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
Your forecast for you and your community. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. We love Wisconsin weather and tracking it to keep you updated whenever it changes. Listen for our weather-ready stories so you're always prepared on your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the Civic Media app.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
Ideas for making plants more resilient to climate change. That's ahead on Farm to Fork. If you're ready to try a highly effective microbial soil inoculant, then Rizol from ProGrow Bio should be your first choice. Rizol offers multiple benefits, like enhanced biomass, bigger yields, and improved soil health. 100% organic and works with conventional or organic crops, and comes in a soluble dry form for easy handling and long shelf life. Search the web for RHIZOL from ProGrow Bio.
Hey there, it's Mike Rowe, and if you're out there getting dirty, do me a favor and remember to call or click 811 before you dig. And when I say dig, I refer to any activity requiring boring, tilling, drilling, probing, reaming, plowing, drudging, or even scoping. Anything that causes you to roll up your sleeves a little and dig in requires you to first connect with 811 so that you can avoid all those buried pipes, wires, and cables underground. To sum up, call or click 811 before you dig and visit safeexcavator.com for more information.
While agriculture is seen as an avenue to potentially mitigate the effects of climate change, it's also an industry that'll see some of the most dramatic impacts from climate change. The scientific community is projecting continued average temperature increases, greater pressure on water supplies, and more extreme weather events. Courtney Leisner is an assistant professor at the School of Plant and Environmental Sciences at Virginia Tech.
One area that people are really doing a lot of active research and work in is using breeding or genetic engineering approaches to help understand the physiology or different genes involved in crops that make them resilient to things like drought or high temperature.
Leisner says one way of doing that may be to take a U-turn with crop genetics.
Crop plants generally are domesticated or bred from wild ancestors. And if we look at the location of where the wild ancestors are grown, what are the traits they have? What are the genes that they might have that make them more resilient to elevated temperature or growing in areas with less water? And can we use those to breed them into our modern elite crop plants that have high yield and use that as a way to build in this resilience?
Learn more on the show info page at NorthShoreProductions.com. That's Farm to Fork. I'm Daryl Anderson.
John Minow and Jim Schmidt.
On our next show, our good friend Pat Tracy from Discover Oshkosh joins us to tell us what's going on this week in Oshkosh.
And then we welcome Brian Scott, the news director and general manager of NBC 26. It's going to be a great show.
Weekday mornings, 6 till 9.
The 988 Suicide and Crisis Lifeline is here and ready to help. Anyone can call or text 988 or chat via 988wisconsin.org to get connected to a trained Lifeline counselor. Trained counselors are here to support anyone experiencing a suicidal, mental health, or substance use crisis. You can also contact 988 if you are concerned about someone. 988 is confidential and free to all Wisconsin residents. 988, 24/7. Call, text, chat. Here to support you. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Health Services.
1, 2, 3.
What you doing?
4, 5, 6. Counting the first place awards from the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association.
WISS in Oshkosh for the best promo. WAUK in Waukesha, best Maggie Dawn Show web story. WMDX in Madison, best web story about the Max Inc. radio show. And WFHR in Wisconsin Rapids for best show, interview, and promo.
Informed, entertained, connected.
And winning.
Your local Civic Media radio station. Learn more at civicmedia.us. You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay. WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CD Green Bay. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. President Biden and former President Trump have agreed to two one-on-one debates.
The first on June 27th, hosted by...